Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you, brothers, for the program they're listening today. If you received this link on your phone, or if you went on an email, or we sent it to you online, or you went on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and clicked on, we appreciate you and thank you for joining us. I can give a shout out to our brothers at a part of our weekly devotional, day-by-day weekly devotional, and our Thursday night Zoom gathering. We welcome those brothers listening in also. Elder Mark, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning, my brother. Good morning to you. Can hear you loud and clear.
Amen, amen. It's good to have you, brother, and thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the our devotional that we've been going over and just have a discussion. It hit some of the highlight points. And let me say this to the brothers out there. If you're not part of our devotional, it's on it's on Bible.com. If you text me, I can send you the link when we post and start a new devotional. We're doing about 5-day, 7-day devotionals. So we go from Thursday to Thursday, and then on Thursday night we come together on a Zoom meeting and discuss some of the points, encourage each other, and pray for one another. It just as a way, Elder Mark had the vision to start to gather again. So, you know, we joined in with that to be part of that. So we can start to gather again. You know, we're getting to a stage where, you know, churches are opening back up. They're going back to face-to-face meetings. But we just want to set the foundation and hopefully move forward to a time we can come and be together and share a meal or something. But Elder Mark, he can share more about that as part of the program. But for the brothers that are online who did that are part of our devotional, weekly devotional, amen, we encourage you to share the devotional and also share this discussion with them. And also we can invite y'all to join us. We haven't locked down the date that we actually do this. So me and Elder Mark, we just try and get our schedules to collide, and then we talk about it. But when we get to have a more stable date, we'll invite all the other brothers to come in and be part of it if they would like to. Amen. Elder Mark, could you open us with prayer? And then we'll get right to the discussion.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. O precious and awesome Father, Lord God, we come before you as humbly as we know how, bowing before your throne of grace as we reverence you, as we honor you, and we bless you, O God. We lift our hallelujah praise unto you, Father God, for what you did yesterday, what you're doing today, and what you'll continue to do in our lives tomorrow, Lord God. You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God, and we are honored and privileged to call upon your name as Abba, Father, Lord God, as our Creator, as our Savior, Lord God, as our Rock, Lord God. We just thank you for all that you are, O God. We thank you, Lord God, as we join together, Lord God, where two or more join, Lord God, you are in the midst, Lord God, so we thank you for the opportunity of this conversation, Lord God, to dig deeper into your word, Lord God, to help us to understand who we are, the calling upon our life as men, Lord God, to be an empowerment, Lord God, an uplifting, Lord God, to the men around us, Lord God. As you have encouraged us, Lord God, you sent someone to pray over us and give us the opportunity, Lord God, to do the same, to lift our prayers, Lord God, to stand in the gap, Lord God, for our fellow brethren, Lord God. This line, Lord God, this opportunity is about men building men, Lord God, in your will, in your way, Lord God. So I thank you for each and every man joined, Lord God. I thank you for each and every woman joined, Lord God, desiring a change for her husband or the men around her. I thank you, Lord God, for all of their lives and all of those dedicated, Lord God, to changing the way they were, Lord God, changing the view of the world, Lord God, to changing it, Lord God, to a view that sees what you see in them and the strength that you have placed in all of us. We honor you and we bless you and praise the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Well, bro, we're going to jump right in. The title of devotional we were doing was called Fight Club, the Fight Devotional for Men. And it was, I believe it was 11-day devotional. So I'll let you start, bro. Day one, it was 11 days. So where do you want to jump in at, bro?
I'm going to jump in. Day one is awesome. So just to explain to everybody, we picked this up before the pandemic started. We were having, and this is what I desire that we'll come back to, we were having a monthly meeting on the first Monday of the month. We were having a sit-down discussion, and we decided to stretch out this devotional. This was our first devotional that we started reading, but of course we didn't complete as an entire entity because of COVID. But in any case, we started this devotional, and it's the Rules to Fight Club. So many of us have seen the movie Fight Club with Tyler Durden and, you know, the nobody talks about Fight Club thing. But what we have to realize and what we see in this devotional, we look a lot deeply in the life of Samson and what we can see in his fight and what we can see in our daily fight against the enemy. So we'll jump right in. Like Deacon Forrest, 11-day devotional. One of the first scriptures in this devotional is Judges 13, 1 through 5. Deke, if you could read that for me, and then I'm going to pick up on John 10, and there's one more, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Between those three, it opens a lot for discussion about knowing the enemy and knowing that he is continually on the prowl. We have a fight on our hands, and if you think you aren't set, if you think you aren't going to the battle, whether you're prepared or not, you are going to have to fight. So, Dee, could you read that first one, Judges 13, 1 through 5?
Amen, sir. I got it. Amen. We're going to start at verse number 1, and it says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bared not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and embarrass not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to jump on to John 10 and 10, and that's where I want to break it down from. John 10 and 10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. So I jumped in there because, first off, we're talking about Samson, and we're talking about his mother was barren. So we go into looking at Samson was a miracle at first. Everything about Samson was a miracle. He was set up to be the deliverance. He was set up to be the one, for lack of a term. He was set up to be that guy. But decisions that we'll talk about will continually to take you in a place, and the enemy puts those temptations and puts us in places that we will make the choice to go against what God already has for us. See, God had a plan for Samson's life. He was the one. He was the one that would be set aside. He would be raised as a Nazarite. It was certain things he was not to do because of his purpose. But glory be to God, even when we fall short of the instructions, we still can live up to the purpose. What do you have to say, Dee?
Amen, amen, and that's right, you know, because even in this, and we're talking about Samson, you know, God has a purpose for us all. We may not recognize it because we are not created, we're not mistakes, we just didn't happenstance. Our births were not, you know, I think right now we take the birth of children for granted, but, you know, it's a work of God for the conception of life. Just from the beginning and from the time to just put your parents together to create you. Because if your parents would have picked any other mate, you would not be here. You know what I mean? So just that knowing that God is in control, that he put things in place that you would be here. And then within that, God has a purpose and plan for every human being he has created. There's a plan. There's a reason for their lives. And then for us to come and to know that is to come to know him, and then we'll be guided by the Holy Spirit. So that's why, as men of God, no matter how long you've been in the church or when you came into faith, remember, God is all-knowing. So he knew. He knew your struggles. He knew who you're going to be, but he also knows how you're going to affect, your life is going to affect others. Just by your being here. And I think we have to understand that, because God knows it and the enemy knows that there's a purpose for us in every life and every man out there. But God knows his purpose for you, and the enemy knows, and that's why he's seeking to destroy us at all times. What do you say, brother?
Amen. That's exactly it, brother. His purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to make the account of God false. If he can prove God wrong in any of us, then he has done his job. His purpose is to deny the existence, deny the power of God. So when anything God has spoken over us is blocked, that is an accomplishment for the enemy. That is his purpose, to deny our growth in God, to use flesh, temptation, to stop us from getting where we need to be, because he knows, just as God knows, the plan and the purpose for our life, the enemy is privy to that. He knows how strong we are to become. He knows as men what we're supposed to stand up and be, and every day his purpose is to stop that, to take us into a place where we won't reach for God, where we won't strive to serve God, where we'll just accept and become complacent enough to say, this muck and mess is good enough for me. I tell you, gentlemen, we need to fight, because good enough ain't enough. We need more, because we're created as overcomers. We need to learn that this fight, that this time, we've got to keep on going. We got to fight harder than any time we ever have. It even goes to Ephesians 6. So many of you know that scripture. I'm not going to read it. But Ephesians 6 talks about the armament that God provides. From head to toe, you are protected by God's armor. So put it on, gentlemen. Prepare for this fight.
Amen, amen. You know, bro, I wanted to interject here because, you know, again, you know, this is what we, because we in the body of Christ sometimes we take the word of God and his scripture and these verses, and sometimes we take them for granted and we turn them into cliches. But we, if we mm-hmm. understand what the armor is, if just in by faith and by believing and understanding what the armor of God is as spoken of in Ephesians, we can defend us. We'll be in a right place, but we have to. But it's a spiritual battle, and we have to understand we're always in it. It doesn't really matter what you're going through right now. This could be a good season for you, or it could be a bad season for you. But you cannot and you should not take off your armor. And that's what I say all the time with men: is we should be in the Word every day, we should be in prayer every day, and our lives should be. I don't want to say it. Our lives at some point in our Christian growth and maturity, our lives seek to glorify him. And I think, but that's something we have to pursue after. So I just wanted to encourage the brothers with that piece. There's some things we have to pursue as Christian men. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to throw out a little analogy. I'm not the biggest sports person, but I tend to try to throw out these analogies just to get a different, not to say outside of a spiritual view, but to just make it plain. So most of our men that are here, I'm sure, like football. I'm not a big sports fan, but I do enjoy watching football every here and now. But none of us who have ever played football or been or watched the game would encourage a person, a player, to go onto the field without pads on, without protection. You don't even, and even if you're not playing in the game, even if you're third string or whatever, you still have your pads on just in case you got to get up off the bench. So when you're in the fight, when you're in the game, when you're in the battle, you can never take off that uniform. You can never take off that protective armor. You can never take off those pads, those helmets. You can never take off those guards for your thighs. You can never take off all that padding that you had to put on to prepare. You never take that off until you step away from the battlefield. But what we have to understand is we never step away from the spiritual battlefield. It follows us in our dreams, while we sleep, while we're at work, while we're sitting down having breakfast, while we're with our kids. It follows us while we're in church. So we have to have that armor on all the time. So if you could take it and pick us up on day two,
amen, amen. Going to day two. Let's see what we got here. Amen. So day two, we're talking about we're chasing the wrong things. Now, brothers, this is something. It talks about Samson. Again, we knew the story of Samson. We know what his downfalls and what his things were. And it's about our lusts, our lustful desires, and who we are called to do and called to be. You know, because that's part of the struggle. As mature men, if we find ourselves doing things, getting caught up in things that we shouldn't be, and if these things at one point in our life were normal, and now we've developed a habit, a vice, we've developed a taste for it, and now we're struggling with it as we come to the knowledge of what God called us to be as men. He called us to be different. He called us to be renewed in our mind. Called us to be a living sacrifice, an example. So now these things that come and tempt us, that the enemy continuously uses to bait us, to catch us, to kill, steal, and destroy us, he's still using those things from our past, or those affections, those things that we did as normal. That, you know, again, you know, the sinner man, the unbeliever man, the things that we lived, the things we did, and the things we used to do, they were normal to us. They were normal activity. We didn't recognize the sin we were living in. But once we come to faith and through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit living in us, now we understand we have to change. We are called to change. And through God, again, through our obedience to him and through our submission unto him, we can break that. We can break these lusts. So in day two, it was all about Samson, the famous story. It was a lot of things Samson did. A lot of people don't realize Samson had two wives. He messed up his first marriage. So he has the famous one with Delilah. But before that, He made bad choices in defiance of what God has told him and some of the things that he went through. I'm scanning over it as we speak. But, you know, it's just that, you know, he wandered from what his purpose was, all away from his commitment as a husband. What do you say, sir?
You know, we have a place, lust takes us into a place where we sometimes will even say, I don't care what anybody else says. I'm a man. I have desires. I got needs. So I want it. And that's what lust does. It puts us in a place that says, no matter what it does, no matter what we almost weigh it out like we'll pacify a behavior to get what we want, to get the things that we're lusting after. You know, we'll say, oh well, you know, it's not that bad. It's not a big deal to try to pacify, knowing that it's tearing our family apart, knowing that it's tearing us apart, knowing that it's completely out of what God has intended for us. It's basically saying, God, I mean, I get what you're saying, but right now I really don't care because I want this. I want to lay down with this woman. I want to do this. I want to indulge in this activity. I know you said it ain't right, but, you know, it feels so good. I think I'm going to go ahead and choose that. That's what lust does for us. That's the place lust puts us in. And that, even the strongest man, like we look at Samson, Samson was, so let's just kind of compare him to today's standard. It's like you're talking about a guy with incredible heart muscles, dark mouth, you know, smart mouth, the I'm him, I'm that guy, and then Thor's hair. So you put all the Avengers, all these superheroes into one and realize you got this guy walking around who just, he has it all. He has what he wants and can do what he wants, but his decision, even in all the blessings that he's been raised in, all that he's been given, all that he has, his decisions are still based on selfish acts for his fleshly desires. So we have to get to the place where we understand that even the greatest one, even Christ, was tempted. After his time in the wilderness, Christ was tempted. After his time, Christ was tempted. The devil came right to his face and said, hey, do this. You're the Son of God. Well, if you're the Son of God, do this. You can have this. All you have to do is this. These temptations are things that are thrown at us every day, and our flesh lusts after those things. It desires that fulfillment. It desires to work against and to separate us from God. That's what the flesh is about, and that's what the enemy tries his best to reach our spirit, is through our flesh, through lustful desires that he know will please and satisfy us. The enemy knows more about what we want than what we do sometimes. And our desires. Our desires take us to a place where we will literally look at the way the right and the wrong out, and you look at it, well, it's not that bad. It's almost like a risk assessment. Is it really going to be that bad? Is it worth it? You know what? The outcome is worth it. I might as well go ahead. But then when you realize, the enemy tricked you, because when the outcome, the consequences come, they're a little more than you want to deal with. Let's just say you decided to sleep with that woman on that job retreat. But 3 months later, you get a phone call. A month later, you get a phone call that lady you thought she'd never see again is now pregnant. How do you explain that to your wife? What has that done to your family? Excuse me. A choice, a five-minute choice that turned into a few minutes of gratification to now the destruction of your life. Choosing the wrong things. The wrong things. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, it's one of the things, too, while doing men's ministry and being part of doing Issues Christian Men's Talk, is, you know, I want to bring about lust. Sexual lust is easy. You know, we all can identify that. We can all justify it. We all can get on our high horse about, you know, I'm not tempted anymore. I've been set free from, and I, you know, I don't watch pornography. But there's other kind of lust, too. There's a lust that we go after on our job for promotions. What will we do to get promoted? What would you do in compromise to get a raise, that you want to be the guy at work? You want to be seen as the guy to get the awards and the recognitions for being the most productive, the employee of the year, month, whatever. do are you compromising your Christian faith or your Christian morals to achieve these things in the flesh? Because that's also a lust. People do a lot of things just to be recognized and be on top. But then after it fades away, you see them crash emotionally and spiritually because they're not being recognized anymore. Also, the dream, you know, we all want to be successful when it comes to monetarily. But what are you getting? What are we doing? What are you willing to do that will compromise your faith and your walk to gain more money, to have more money, to put more money in the bank, to buy more things? The prestige of having a newer car, a 2022 car, compared to your 1999 car. That what will you do? Will you go into debt to a point where you can't afford the payments, but you drive around a shiny car and everybody's looking at you in envy or whatever because you have the newest car. You have the car that drives itself. I don't know. Well, you know, there's so much stuff out here. But everything – but are you so in need of that to go after that, or that you will compromise your faith and your finances and the security of your family, you know, our homes and houses, you know, all of these things. Some of these things can be lustful desires, too, that we have to watch out for, I'm sorry, that the enemy will try again because, you know, I say this, I've been married a while and I've seen a lot of folk. Financial difficulties can destroy a marriage. So debt can kill, and it's a slow killer because if you get the wrong kind of debt with the wrong kind of circumstances, it will wear you down and break you down. And, you know, you could be paid. I used to use the analogy, you know, you get a for those of you who go away, go into college or whatever, you use a credit card to buy a real large pizza one night, and you've been paying for that pizza for the last 10 years. You spent $25 for a super-sized pizza with 2 liters of Coke and some cheesy bread in 1985. No, excuse me. I'm going to be nice. You paid for that in 1999, and you're still paying for it now because your debt and you paid that minimum payment. But that's all comes with making bad choices and wanting instant gratification. That's also lust, wanting instant gratification and what we're doing. You know, so I just wanted to broaden it to so we can look at our lives, look in the mirror, look into our hearts, and see those things that we are compromising, especially our Christian walk and our service to God for, because we think these things will bring us happiness and joy, and we don't know contentment, because I think the opposite of lust is contentment. Amen? So we encourage you just to reach to consider this, because every man is considered for himself. He has to search his own heart and what God is saying to him and where he's at when it comes to lust. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. And I love what you said, that we have to recognize lust is more than just a monetary thing. I want to share the last scripture from that day, second day of this devotional. It's 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, and it says, "If you think you're standing, be careful not to fall." That's just letting us know, like, yeah, we've gotten past the sexual desires. We've gotten past a lot of things. But there still are so many things that we are easily tempted by in our flesh. And if you think that in your flesh you're standing strong, be prepared to fall. Be prepared to fall because you're going to fall. Flesh will always fall short, will always fall down. Something is always going to happen in the flesh that does not move forward for you, because that's the place where the enemy toils and plays with you all day, is in the flesh. Those desires, if you're going to remain susceptible to the flesh and never try to encourage to grow in the spirit man, your existence will be just that, fleshly desires fulfilled with nothingness, because the flesh is never fulfilled. It always desires more to prove that God isn't the sustenance that we need. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to hop over to, so I know we get this 11-day devotional. We chose this, man, because it's a lot. I'm praying that as we're talking about these in these next few weeks, as we're talking about them, some of these 5-day and even 11-day devotionals, we don't have the time in our hour to get through. But just the introduction and some of the main points we want to share with you guys, and just uplift you and encourage you that you can join with us to grow in the rest of these, to go back and look at them, even go back to what's archived, listen to what with our discussion, and see what points you may have to add into it. And please share those points with Deacon Farr via the webpage, via the Facebook. I believe he's on Twitter. I'm sure he'll make those announcements. We just really appreciate you guys taking the time to join with us and just to fellowship with us. We look forward to sharing more with you and continuing. But to move on further, we're going to hop into what's day three of the fight, and it's the conversation is rules are made to be broken. We have to realize we think different. We think different. Like, it's a complex about us that we can say we can just do this little thing and come back. It won't take us but so far. You know, small things won't hurt us. If we just do this, it's not going to really lead all the way to that. But we have to recognize these rules, the rules around us, the basic understanding, the things that God has put forth for us, those are for our growth and our protection. That's what they're made for. And we so many times look at rules in the natural world, we look at rules as an inconvenience to our behavior because we want to do what we want to do. And anything that says we're not, that we can't do that, is what we ignore, is what we pass by, what we don't want to listen to. So in this one, it talks about, I'm sorry, I'm scanning through. I lost my spot where I wanted to be at. Before Samson was ever born, his parents dedicated him to the Lord with something called a Nazarite vow. This is the short version is what this means, is that throughout his whole life, Samson was supposed to follow these three basic rules. Do not drink alcohol, do not touch anything dead, and don't cut your hair. Pretty simple, right? Seems like pretty simple. But lust, our fleshly desires, cause us to do things that are outside of the scope of our behavior, outside of the rules, outside of the instruction. We're always trying to push the envelope. We always try to push the envelope thinking that we're big enough, we're strong enough as men, that when we push the envelope, the consequences won't be more than what we can handle. And then when they are, our first thing is, oh, God, can you help me? God says, I tried to help you. I told you not to walk down there. You still made the choice. God will take us out of it, but a lot of it we have to live through because of our choices, our belief that the rules that were set were made to be broken because they didn't allow us to do what we wanted to do. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, it's one of the things, too, that comes to our minds. Brothers, if we're honest with ourselves, first of all, when we get into rules and we get into following the rules, because, you know, some churches – I remember, you know, okay, I'll say this. A lot of ministries and churches teach a lot of don't do this, don't for the body of Christ. When folk come into the ministry, they shouldn't be doing this, smoking, drinking, all these things. Some of the things with the Nazareth vow, you know, they want to say all these rules, what you shouldn't be doing and what you don't. So in the midst of that, that's how we get those rules, and then that, you know, moves against our spirit. Because, again, unless we come to Christ and we're surrendered in faith and in spirit, in the heart, setting a bunch of rules won't work anyway. They're going to be broken. They're going to – because we already set now the goal line. We set the line. We set this. Now we want to see how close we can get to the line without losing our salvation. Or how close we can get to the line and still say we save and justify standing right up next to the line, instead of staying well in obedience to it. You know, the scripture teaches, I believe it's in John, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So men, as our love for Christ, as we are surrendered to him, how do we stay within what God is, again, what God has set up for us? He set this life in the word of God for his good. You know, I like to always say, I was talking about this earlier in the week with some brothers, you know, if we look at the Old Testament, I know everybody, the first thing New Testament Christian want to say is the law. We're not under the law. But if you study the Old Testament and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all those laws that God put on Israel, He set boundaries for them because he wanted them to appear different than all the other nations and cultures around them to represent him. So that same principle applies to us. We are to be different. We are to be sanctified. We are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, and we live different than the world. And we, the only way those commandments that Christ has given us is in Scripture, and we're living in obedience. And that's what that's where our real struggle is when we're talking about lust and disobedience, because we think now that somehow we're not supposed to be obedient to the Word of God. Because as soon as you tell somebody something, we're not under law, we're under grace. Yeah, well, grace will get you in hell too. Because if you don't understand what grace means, grace don't mean you can do what you want to do and God's going to turn his back on it. But that's a whole other teaching. But us as men, we have to search our heart and realize, you know, because we want to get to the point now, you know, I'm a good Christian man, I'm a good Christian husband, and I'm entitled to a little some things. Those entitlements is how the enemy gets in. We think we're entitled. You know, I've been doing this, I deserve this. You know, when it comes to finance, you know, all my bills are paid, I've done this, I've been good, I'm just going to take a little bit of money and go over here and do something. Or call it, quote-unquote, you know, going on vacation or doing something you ain't supposed to be. You know you're not supposed to be doing, but you feel entitled because you've been so good all year long, so you can go crazy in the end of the year or whatever. Or, you know, but again, each man has to, you have to really search ourselves and where we are with it. Because, again, the things that we do, the choices we make, those things that we think we can get away with, there's going to be consequences, and that's going to ripple through the lives of those that are around us, those that depend on us. Because as husbands, fathers, and sons, our lives are connected with others. So when we go and divert off of the path of what God and the purpose of God had for us, and now he wants to use us in people's lives, it's going to affect others. So we have to be, again, on point. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to understand that the sins that we commit, little white lies, little sins, big sins, first of all, it's a sin against the God. It's a sin against God. It's a direct obedience. And take it all the way back to Genesis. What Adam did has rippled through the generations of where we are today and what God, and because of that man's one choice, the choice of Adam. We have to remember that. And for some of us, we have to understand there's lives connected to us. That's the thing I really wanted to get at when we're talking about this, how, you know, the choices and the bad decisions we make can ripple through our families and through our communities. Amen. Back to you, brother.
Amen, amen. Yes, sir, it takes us right into another part of the conversation, a part of the devotional. Excuse me, I'm sorry, my phone just tripped off on me a little bit, getting back to the... Oh, my goodness. You know, it's always crazy. Technology tries to fight us so much, but yet it's supposed to be on our side.
Amen, amen. It acts up. Yes, it does.
I got it back. So it just... I love how this just lined up, takes us right in. You know, so we've talked about lust, and that's just, it just says, I want it. And then, you know, we talk about the rule breaking. It's because we feel entitled, like rules are meant to be broken because they're not set for us. We are entitled. But then there's something else that adds on to it. And I want to, you know, we're going to jump into this. And it's saying, I have this under control. That's pride in yourself saying, I can handle it. I'm a man, so I can take it. I can deal with this. Like, I can deal with the immoral decision because I can make it right, or I can fix it later on. That's one of the things that we all as men do. We believe we're fixers. So when we get in our mind that this is what we want, we think of, oh, well, I'll go ahead and do it, and I'll fix it later. You know how many times we've dug a hole for ourselves, and we said, I'm going to say me. How many times I've dug a hole for myself in a decision because I made the decision, and instead of examining all the consequences, instead of taking the time, I made a rash decision, excuse me, tongue-tied, and the consequences were way more than what I thought it was. In my mind, pridefully, I said, I can handle this, And then when it happened, when everything came about, when all the chips were down, wow. You mean to tell me I did this? I walked into this. I chose that. Well, you know what? Lust said I wanted it. Entitlement told me I deserved it, and pride told me I could handle it. But all of those things have walked me into a path that I can't do nothing but call on the name of God, because nobody can get me out but him. But if I realized, had I have listened before I thought it was cool to say these rules are meant to be broken because it's what I want and that I can handle it, if I'd have left it in the hands of God, I'd have been walking in a much better place with a lot less stress, a lot less energy wasted, time wasted, and my service and representing God could have been what saved someone else, because they saw me depend on God instead of trying to move in my own fleshly desires. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen. But brothers, let me say this to you. This is Deacon Farr, and this is Christian Men's Talk, and we're here with Elder Mark, and we're talking about the Fight Club devotional that our group is going over. And again, I encourage you, reach out to me on Twitter. You receive this link on your text, on your phone, text me back. We can put you into the group, and you can get the link for the devotional that we're doing. We're doing 5 7-day devotions every week, and then on Thursday evenings we're coming together in discussion and prayer and to encourage one another. Amen, and just gather together. Amen. So, and what we're talking about, too, we're talking about, you know, when we say, I have it under control, you know, we have to be careful, because the enemy will give us that sense of pride, because, again, there's pride before the fall. So don't let the enemy use your pride and your selfishness to shame and trick you into trading what God has given you, the power for things. Because, again, the enemy is going to tempt you in those things that are tempting to you, okay? The enemy is not going to tempt you in something that is not going to move you. You may not be into whatever, but he's going to use and get you and tempt you with the things that you are into. So you have to be mindful. And as I talked about, you know, it's about, you know, taking, you know, saying you can handle it, taking one drink or one whatever, things you know you're not supposed to do. For Samson, it was alcohol. For you, it might be something else because, you know, they're getting ready to legalize marijuana. So some of you brothers need to remember where you came from. I'm just saying, because in a lot of places you listen in the country, marijuana is legal. That don't mean you can go. It's okay for the body of Christ, because some of y'all still drink, but I'm not going to go there. And watch out for the edibles, too. Amen? But these are the things that we, as men of God, got to stay focused on. And when we're talking, and we're talking about porn, you know, the shows we watch, because right now, bruh, the way it is now, they sneaking stuff in everywhere you turn around. They're not even being ashamed about it. You can't even. No. How about this? I'll say this. You can't even watch an award show, a music award show, without it popping up. Because the stuff I've seen, I'm like, man, really? That's why I don't listen to secular music, because half of it. But anyway, when these live performances, it's ridiculous right now. These things used to be taboo. These things used to be secret. But now they're out there wide open. And unfortunately, if there's a generation of young men out there who are going to fall victim, because it's normal for them to see these things, and for women too, because, you know, it's on the other side, and there's a lot of things going on that seem normal. But this is why us as men of God, as husbands and fathers, have a responsibility to stand up for the Word of God and have integrity about what we need to do, have spiritual strength, integrity, and courage to speak the truth, and to be able to mentor and disciple young brothers coming up, first in our homes, our children and our sons and daughters, but then in the body of Christ, we have to be able to, you know, we have to be able to stand with spiritual strength, integrity, and courage, and speak these things, because it's all becoming a norm, and the enemy is going to kill us. So each of us has a call to serve our family, our wife, and our family, and also be men of integrity in the body of Christ, in the community also. So this is what we call, when we talk about salt and light is more than a Christian cliche. We have to be salt and light because right now, the way the culture is going, we have to recognize these things that destroyed Samson. He's coming after, the devil is using those same things to go after a generation. And we as men of God have to get to the place where we are rooted and grounded, and now that we can be able to be salt and light in the midst of cultural the culture falling apart, disintegration or dissolving, whatever you call it. It's one of those words I want to use, but I got so much in my head, I want to get it out. Bro, what do you say, sir? The importance of, you know, we think we got it under control, but we're not standing up.
No, you know, it's crazy. And this is, I'm going to be transparent. You know, one of the times in my life where I thought I was just right on task, I thought I was right. And, you know, you realize when you go in somewhere, the word will actually cause self-evaluation. A connection, prayer life, that will cause self-evaluation because your mind, your spirit is in a place of repentance. So you want to evaluate where you are and try to repent for where you're out of line with God. When you desire that relationship, when you desire to be in line with God, your heart is in a repentant place for anything that's out of line with God. And so many times we don't realize it, man. We said we can handle it. Like Deacon Farr said, you know, maybe that one drink, you know, we said we can handle it. And it was a downward spiral. You know, what about the man who's gone through rehab? He's gone through, you know, AA. He's gone through all these things to stop drinking for these addictions or whatever. And then one party, one family, one gathering with some friends from work, and somebody offers a drink that didn't know his situation. He takes the drink just because he wants to fit into the crowd. He wants to feel like, oh, well, I can handle it. It's just one. But tomorrow turns into the second, and then the third, and then the fourth. And before you realize it, he's back to the same place he was. We have to realize that when we go through these issues, our turn, our savior, our place of refuge is in God. And that's who we have to depend on. That's who we have to lean upon, is God. We are in this fight, and this battle is more than we were ever made to truly understand. But we are given the tools to fight in the battle. It's like somebody lets you know that the enemy is coming. You're standing there unarmed. And when you turn around, they've already given you everything you need with the instructions. So will you put on the armor? Will you pick up the sword? Will you use it to fight the enemy you know is coming? And is coming in droves, consistent droves that doesn't stop because his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy God. So when he goes beyond you, it's still going to your family, it's still going to your household, it's still going to your job. It goes to everything that's about you. The enemy will attack that. So men, get prepared, get into your word, find somebody to help you to understand these things, that these decisions that Samson made, even with all the instruction, even with all the encouragement, even with all the quote-unquote power he had within him. He still made wrong decisions. We will make wrong decisions, but glory be to God, our Father will call us back, allow us back into the fold, allow us back into his graces, just as the prodigal son was, and he will lift us to a place that we can stand as men and continue to fight the battle. Back to you, sir, if you want to just close us on out.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. First of all, I want to appreciate you putting this together and thinking about it. You know, there's I pray that there's something was said today that encouraged the brothers. We encourage the men that are listening. Again, you got this link on your phone. Text me back. We'll send you the link for the new devotional coming up this week, moving forward. Depending when you get this, we may already be in the middle of one, but whatever, you can jump in when you can. And again, on Thursdays, we do a Zoom gathering, and we encourage you to come be part of that. Again, if you text me, I will send you the link for that. You can join us on the Zoom, get to see each other, pray with each other, talk about the devotional, encourage one another. And as always, you know, just pray for your brothers. Pray for the brothers around you. Pray for the brothers in your church. Pray for the men in your life, in your family, the men that you know, the men that you work with, the men, you know, in your community. Because there's men out there who are struggling with a lot of things, a lot of pressures. We're doing a shift now in this culture. And again, some people are anxious about the changes. There's still issues out here with finances and people with evictions in their homes and jobs coming back looking for work. They keep saying there's a lot of jobs out there, but, you know, you got to find what you need. and what you're going through. So we want to pray for brothers there that are dealing with those financial situations, opportunities to get back to work. You may have lost your job during the pandemic, so we're praying for a restoration. We're praying for opportunity where God can use you. And just praise God for where you are right now. And pray for that He's going to bring something into you, and He's going to bring something into your life. He's going to take care of you. You know, the Bible says God has never seen His people beg for bread. So there's going to be opportunities, and just hold on, men, brothers, husbands, fathers, hold on, just hold on, and never, never, never give up. Elder, I'm going to let you have the last word, and you can pray us out. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. And men, just be encouraged. I just want to say that for be encouraged. We touched on 4 days of the 11-day devotional Fight Club. You can go in and you can start it on yourself, by yourself, or you can take the devotional, hook up with some other brothers, and y'all go through it together. Amen. So the opportunities are there to start to for men to gather together, to start to encourage one another, to get back to being the church, the people of God, the men of God, and to encourage one another to be able to move forward and grow in our faith together as men, as a body of Christ, and as a church. Elder, again, man, I appreciate you taking time out and coming together, and we having discussions, and I pray for you, your family, and your wife, and we continue to serve the Lord and live lives that are obedient and glorifying Him. You can close us out, brother.
Amen, amen. Just a heads up, gentlemen, I sent to Deacon Farr and to several other men that's on the text message. I've sent out the next devotional that will be starting tomorrow. As Deacon Farr said, please, men, those that get the link, that get a hold of the link, please go back and look at these devotions. They have been awesome. We will continue to discuss and bounce around, as far as the radio show, I guess we'll continue to bounce around and discuss some. We'll find some schedules for that. But the next one is 7 questions that rattle in the mind of most men. It's actually 7 days. So we'll start tomorrow. We'll be able to discuss it on Thursday, and possibly we get into next week's radio show if Deacon Farr hasn't already said something. He has so many people on and so many guests that come to share and to empower us all. So hopefully we'll get back into the schedule again to do something in another week to talk about this next one. Father God, we just honor you and bless you, Lord God. We thank you for an opportunity to come before you to share about you, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves as the call upon the men that we stand to be, Lord God, proclaimed as your soldiers in the front line, Lord God. Continue to use us, to mold us, to make us, Lord God, that we, Lord God, are exactly what you created us to be, Lord God. We are the ones that you depend upon, Lord God, that represent you, that stand strong, exuding the very fruit of the Spirit in our life, Lord God. The character of the fruit of the Spirit are what show through us, Lord God, as we desire to show people you. We desire to share you in the midst of this dark world, Lord God, because someone took the time to pull us out, Lord God, to let us know who you were, to show us about you, Lord God. So thank you for the opportunity to share more of the good news of you, Lord God, that you are our Savior, our Creator, Lord God, that you, Father God, are the rock we can stand upon, the rock we can lean upon in any situation, no matter what the season, no matter what the time, Lord God. We know that you are God and God alone, and we say thank you, Father. We honor you and we bless you and pray to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen.